story of Gedaliah, because today is Tzoim Gedaliah. A long time ago, all the Yidden were living in Eretz Yisrael. And we had the Beis HaMikdash, the first Beis HaMikdash. And the first Beis HaMikdash was very beautiful. And you know who built the first Beis HaMikdash? Shlomi HaMelech, the son of David HaMelech. And the Yidden would go there for Yontev. They would go there for Pesach. And they would go there for Shavuos and Sukkos. You know, every Yid was in Yerushalayim for Sukkos. All over Yerushalayim were Yidden with Sukkos and Ulavim and Esraigim and dancing by Simchas Beis HaSheva. And it was very beautiful and wonderful. It was so much fun. 3 times a year, all the Kindalach and the Mamis and Tatis went to Yerushalayim for Yontif. And they went davening to the Beis HaMikdash. And they saw miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. Like my class learned, the Nisim that were in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you could see with your eyes. And Kindalach, this went on for 410 years that the Yidden had the first Beis HaMikdash. But unfortunately, the Yidden started to do certain avedas. Kinalach, how does Hashem feel when the Yidden do avedas? How does Hashem feel? Very bad, very upset. When the Yidden do mitzvahs, and the Yidden learn Torah and do mitzvahs, Hashem is so happy, and Hashem gives them brachas, and Hashem gives them all kinds of good things. But Hashem says in the Torah, if the Yidden do avedas, well, you know what's going to happen if a person does avedas? And Hashem gets upset. Chas v'shalom could be punishment. Could be punishing. Now, first Hashem gives a chance to do tshuva. Like we learned in Chodesh Elul, about all the chances we get to do tshuva. And in Slichas, we say, I'm sorry to Hashem. And Hashem says, I forgive you. You say, I'm sorry, I'll forgive you. And now it's the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. As long as we be good, and we do mitzvahs, and we don't do any more avedas, then Hashem likes us. And Hashem is good to us, because we do tshuva. What happens if, chas v'shalom, we don't do tshuva? Then, after a while, Hashem says, okay, I gave a lot of chances, but they're still doing the Vedas, another Aveda, and another Aveda, and they're not stopping. Then Hashem says, I have no choice, but I have to punish the person. Or I have to punish the Yidden. Does Hashem want to punish us? No! What does Hashem want? Hashem wants to give us brachas and good. But that's only if we're good. If we're good to Hashem, Hashem is what? Good to us. But if chas v'shalom we go against Hashem, and we're chas v'shalom not good to Hashem, then Hashem says, I can't let them go on do avedas. I have to do something to stop it. How does Hashem stop doing the avedas? If a kid in your house is very, very not good, and they go on and on being not good, so then mommy and tati get upset. And they might even punish the kid. Because the kid can't go on just making trouble, right? Something has to happen to stop it. So first mommy and tati talk nice. And then they offer prizes. And they say stop. But if it goes on and on, after a while, the kid has to get punished. Right? And so Kindalach, the Yidden, we're doing certain avedas. And Hashem sent Helik and Neviim, Helik and Tzadikim, to go tell the Yidden to stop doing the avedas. And one of them, his name was Yirmiyahu Hanavi. And Yirmiyahu Hanavi said to the Yidden, stop doing the avedas, because Hashem is getting upset at you. Do tshuva, or else something terrible is going to happen. And the Yidden said, oh, we don't believe it. It's not so bad what we're doing, and it's not such a big deal. In my class we learn, remember? Sometimes you do a little thing, you think it's a little thing. What is it really? A big thing. And these little Avedas were not little, they were very big. And Yirmiyahu kept saying, stop doing the Avedas. Hashem is upset. And the Yidden said, nothing is going to happen. What's the big deal? And they didn't do tshuva. Or they didn't do enough tshuva. Finally, Hashem got very upset. And he decided he's going to punish the Yidden. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And he chose in the world a shliach. He sent that shliach with a big, big army. And that shliach was a big king, and his name was Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel. A big Russia. Very schlecht. And Nebuchadnezzar got into his schlecht head. He says, I'm going to be the king of the world, and everybody has to listen to me. And I'm going to be the boss of every single place. And any single place that has a king, the king has to listen to me, and the people have to listen to me, or else I'm going to punish them. Now, was Nebuchadnezzar acting by himself, or was Hashem making Nebuchadnezzar do this? Anybody knows? Hashem, that's right. Nebuchadnezzar could not have done anything to the Eden if Hashem would not have sent him. Because Nebuchadnezzar also is in the hands of Hashem. Everything is in the hands of Hashem. But since the Eden had a Vedas, Nebuchadnezzar was able to take a big, big army, and he marched all the way to Yerushalayim. And he says, I'm going to be the boss of Yerushalayim. And Nebuchadnezzar and his armies, they went to Yerushalayim, and they came into Yerushalayim, and on the saddest day of the year, they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. We know what sad day that is. Remember what sad that day? Sad day it is? Tisha B'Av. Also a big fast. A big tinus. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and he took the Yidden and he put them in chains and handcuffs, like prisoners. And he said, you Yidden are not going to be allowed to live anymore in Eretz Yisrael. You're going to be my prisoners and my slaves, and you're going to march now down the road to Babel. And the Yidden said, we don't want to go to Babel. We want to stay in Eretz Yisrael. This is our home. We like to be here. And Nebuchadnezzar says, but I'm your boss now, and you'll have to listen to me and do what I say. And now Nebuchadnezzar made them to march to Babel. And now Yerushalayim was empty. The houses were empty. The streets were empty. The fields were empty. Because no one was living in Eretz Israel. Nebuchadnezzar had taken everybody away as a prisoner into Golis. And before Nebuchadnezzar left Eretz Israel, he saw, now it's going to be empty. Oh, it's a beautiful place. Green fields and flowers and fruit trees. Beautiful place. Nebuchadnezzar says, it's too bad that it has to be empty because now it's only going to be a bunch of wild animals and the weeds are going to grow. Did you ever see a garden and nobody took care of it? Or a front yard and nobody took care of it? What grows in the yard? Big weeds and it gets ugly. And your wild animals will come and robbers will come. So Nebuchadnezzar says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave a few people back here and they'll just take care of the land that it should be taken care of. It shouldn't just be Hefker. The flowers should stay nice and the grass should stay nice and the garden should stay nice, and the houses should stay nice. So I need some people to take care of it. And he chose a few farmers and a few workers, and he says, you stay behind and take care of the land. And then he made a leader, because people need a leader, that they should be able to look up to their leader, and he should tell them what to do. And his name was Gedaliah ben Achikam. He was the leader of the Eden. Nebuchadnezzar said, you're a good man, and if you listen to me and my rules, then I'm not going to bother you, because you're doing a job for me, taking care of the land. Of course, don't make any trouble. And so Gedaliah said, okay, thank you for letting me stay back in the land that I love, Eretz Yisrael, and my farmers and my workers will take care of the place. And Nebuchadnezzar also said, I'm leaving also soldiers, my soldiers, to make sure that nobody makes any trouble over here. And if you do my job, my soldiers will also protect you from enemies. So if you are going to be good, my soldiers will be good to you. Any trouble though from the Jews, my soldiers are here with big swords and big knives, and they're ready to punish you if you make any trouble. Now, Kinalach, Gedaliah lived in a town called Mitzpah. Okay? Mitzpah was where Gedaliah lived, and the farmers started taking care of the land, and of course they made a shul, they could daven, they could learn Torah, and they had their families, and they had their Kinalach, and they made a little yeshiva to learn. And Baruch Hashem, everything was good. Everything was fine. Everybody was friendly and they did their jobs. And as the time went on, Eretz Yisrael looked very beautiful because they took good care of it. And the Kinalach also helped take care of Eretz Yisrael. And it looked very, very nice. Now, more and more farmers were able to come to join Gedaliah in Eretz Yisrael. They got permission, and they got to help take care of Eretz Yisrael, until Mitzpah was a nice city, Eretz Yisrael was a nice land, and Gedaliah was a big tzaddik, and everybody loved Gedaliah. When Gedaliah came into the room, everybody stood up, and on Shabbos, Gedaliah gave a big shiur in Torah, and he spoke, and everybody came, they filled the shul, like when the Rebbe Shlita gives the Febrengen, everybody comes, and everybody's quiet, and they listen, and everybody listened to Gedaliah, and the Kinalach, and the mommies and tatis, everybody loved Gedaliah. He was a big tzaddik, and a very wonderful leader. When Gedaliah left his home in the morning to go to shul, everybody looked out the window to watch him go. And at night, when he left to go home, everybody walked him home. And on Shabbos, when he left the shul to go home, all the kids walked after him. They wanted to see him. And he was a very, very great man. Kinalach, everything would have been very, very good, except there was another man that lived over there. And his name was Yishmael ben Nesanya. Yishmael was very, very jealous of Gedaliah. You know what means jealous? I'll tell you what means jealous. When Yishmael came into the room, everybody didn't get up. When Gedaliah came into the room, everybody said, shh, Gedaliah's coming, let's all get up. And it was quiet when Gedaliah came in. Well, Yishmael, he said, look, I'm just as good as Gedaliah is. How come everybody gets up for him and not for me? He would get very angry. He said, I wish they would get up for me. I'm also a big Talmud Chochem. I'm also a good man. And he was very jealous of Gedalia. How come they don't get up for me and be quiet for me? And when Yishmael would walk home on Shabbos from shul, everybody didn't watch him walk home and walk back after him. All the kids didn't run after him. But they did for Gedalia. He was very jealous of that. Well, Yishmael decided, I'm also going to make a shiur. I'm also going to have everybody come to my shiur. Well, a few people came to his shiur, but by Gedalia, the whole shul was full. By him, he had a few people sitting on the bench, and the rest of the bench was empty. By Gedalia, the whole shul was full. Now, instead of saying, well, Gedalia is a big tzaddik, and I'm just a regular person, he got very jealous. He said, I'm just as good as Gedalia. Why shouldn't everybody make a big deal out of me? Now, does this sound to you that he was a anav, or he was a balgaiva? This Yishmael. What does it sound to you? Like he was a good man or he was a balgaiva? What does it sound like to you? He was a balgaiva. He makes himself to be a big messiah and big Mr. Matzias man. Well, Kindalach, this Yishmael had a big Yetzirah. And one day, he was thinking to himself, you know what? Instead of Gedalia being the leader, I should be the leader. And then everybody would listen to me, they would look at me, they would run after me, they would come to my shiur. If I was the leader, I would be treated like a king, just like Gedalia. But there can't be two leaders, there can only be one. Well, instead of Gedalia being the leader, I'm going to make myself the leader. And how am I going to do it? I'm going to kill Gedalia. Yishmael decided he's going to kill Gedalia. This is a terrible, terrible thing. You know what it sounds like? If you learn Chumash, in the beginning of the Chumash, there were two brothers, Cain and Hevel. Do you remember Cain and Hevel? Did you ever hear about them? Well, I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but Cain got very jealous because Hashem liked Hevel's korban. Hashem sent the fire to Hevel, but Hashem didn't like Cain's korban. Hashem didn't send him a fire. So Hashem said, all he wants for Cain to do is next time he should try better and bring a nicer korban. But instead, Cain got angry and he got jealous. He says, my brother is better than me. Hashem sent him a fire and not me. He's better. I hate him. I'm jealous. I don't like my brother anymore. He got the fire and not me. Instead of learning a lesson, he got jealous. And he got jealous. It turned into hating. And it turned into getting angry. And in the end, you know what he did? He couldn't stand his brother. And in the end, Cain killed Hevel. He killed him. The same thing was happening over here. Instead of Yishmael making himself to be a bigger tzaddik and a nicer man, instead he was jealous, and he hated Gedalia, and he couldn't stand Gedalia, and in the end he wanted to kill Gedalia. This is a very terrible Yetzirah, a terrible thing. But Kinnelach, I'm telling you a true story for Tzayim Gedalia. This is a true story. This is why today is a fasting. This is why it's a fast day today. A sad day, but I'm not done with the story. It's not over yet. If it would be over here, it wouldn't be such a sad thing. Maybe he would do tshuva. He still could do tshuva. But you're going to see that once the Yetzirah starts, it gets more and more and more. More and more bad things can happen. Well, Yishmael says, if I kill Gedalia, I might get in trouble. I have to have a place to run away and hide. I have to have a place that nobody will catch me. Where can I go? After I kill Gedalia, where can I go to run away and hide? At somebody's house that somebody will take care and not tell the police or not tell the soldiers. Well, Yishmael knew that close by to Eretz Yisrael, there was a place called Amoin. Amoin was a country with a very shlechta king. The king of Amoin was a big troublemaker, and he also did not like Gedaliah. He could not stand Gedaliah, he was jealous. And in fact, the king of Amoin said, I wish that I could have the beautiful fields of Eretz Israel for myself. I could go over there instead of Gedaliah being there. Because my place where I live is not so nice. Well, one day, Yishmael ben Sanya went to the king of Amoin, to his palace. And the guard said, who are you? And he says, my name is Yishmael ben Sanya, and I have a very important thing to tell the king of Amoin. Oh well, the king of Amoin let him in, and he says to the king of Amoin, do you like Gedaliah, who lives in Eretz Yisrael in Mitzpah? And the king says, no, I don't like him. I can't stand him. And Yishmael says, I also can't stand him. And I have a plan. I'll tell you my plan. And he told him, I'm planning to kill Gedaliah. Oh, the king of Amoin says, that would be good. And who's going to be the leader? Yishmael says, well, maybe I could be the leader, maybe, huh? Oh, yeah, okay. You want to be my friend? The king says, yeah, I'll be your friend. Okay, now, you have to let me run away and hide in your palace. You got a big palace, and over here's a lot of rooms. So you have to let me, when I kill Gedaliah, run away and hide in your palace, and then we'll be friends. And you can come, and you can do whatever you want over there in the beautiful gardens and fields, because Gedaliah wouldn't be there anymore, and we'll be friends. You and me, we'll be the leaders. Okay, the king of Amoin says, I'll let you in, and you better not do it alone. You better take some men. Yishmael says, well, I've got 10 friends, and they're my friends. They're not going to tell anybody the secret. And we're going to do this thing that I told you to kill Gedaliah. The first chance we get. Okay, the king of Amoin says, remember, you can hide in my palace. And now Yishmael went back to Eretz Yisrael, to Mitzpah. One day, Yishmael was in his room with his 10 shlechta friends. And they were having a meeting to plan to kill Gedaliah. And they were talking. And they thought nobody was listening. But just that time, a friend of Gedaliah's, and his name was Yochanan ben Kareah. Yochanan was a friend of Gedaliah. He was walking by that room. He was walking by that house. Maybe he was going to shul, maybe he was going to yeshiva, maybe he was going to do something to help somebody, and all of a sudden he hears voices. Yeah, we're going to kill him. Yeah, we're going to kill him. And Yochanan thinks to himself, what kind of a thing is going on over here? Killing. This is terrible. This is terrible. What kind of a meeting is this? I see 11 men sitting in that house. I don't want to go over and just listen, because that's not nice to go over and listen. But over here is something wrong. I think somebody might be in danger. And all of a sudden he hears, yeah, we are going to kill Gedaliah ben Achikam. Oh no. Oh no. Yishmael, I see him. I know who he is. He's planning to kill Gedaliah. I better go tell Gedaliah right away that he's got an enemy. And Yochanan went and he told his friend Gedaliah. He was walking by a house and he heard a meeting going on and they were talking about killing Gedaliah. You're in danger. You should run away or you should do something. And you know what Gedaliah said? Oh, I know Yishmael ben Nasanya. I don't think he's such a bad person. I doubt if he would ever do that to me. Maybe you didn't hear right. I thought Ishmael was a friendly man. I don't think he's a bad man. Ishmael, he was, kinalach, on the outside he pretended to be nice, but he was really schlecht. And Gedaliah, he couldn't even believe that Ishmael would be so bad. Well, the next day, Yochanan was walking down again the same street, and again a meeting was going on, and he saw the same men. Yeah, we're going to kill Gedaliah very soon. Let's figure out exactly when. And he went again and told Gedaliah, and he said, you know, Gedaliah, if you want, I'll figure out a way to kill Ishmael before he can kill you. After all, your life is in danger. We don't want anything to happen to you. Gedaliah says, don't worry. I don't think anything will happen. I can't believe that Ishmael would want to kill me. Chas v'shalom. That's a terrible thing. Kinalach, Gedaliah decided that he is going to do this. Listen to me. You know, sometimes when you're nice to a person, then, of course, they're nice to you. Even if you don't like the person or they don't like you, if you're extra nice to them, sometimes they say, look, he's so nice, I'm going to be nice back. Like Yosef with his brothers, if you know that story. It was coming up Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah was coming up very soon. And Gedaliah decided, I'm going to invite Ishmael to be my oirech for Rosh Hashanah. I'll give him good food, I'll give him honey with challahs, and honey with apples, and a delicious suda, I'll make him feel good, and that way I'm sure he'll only be my friend, and he won't do anything bad. And so Gedaliah sent invitations to Ishmael and to his friends. And he said, please come to my house for Rosh Hashanah. You're going to be my oirech, and I want you to stay with me for Rosh Hashanah. And he thought by doing that nice thing for Ishmael, Ishmael will be his friend. Well, kinalach, on Rosh Hashanah, everybody came back from shul, and the house was set up for yontiv with delicious food, and orachim started to come. Gedaliah had a lot of orachim. And Ishmael came, and he brought his 10 friends. And they were all wearing long coats. And Gedaliah says, oh look, Ishmael came, and he brought his friends. That's very good. I'm glad that they came to my Rosh Hashanah Suda. But kinalach, during the Suda, they didn't take off their coats. And Gedaliah says, Ishmael, why don't you and your friends take off your coats? It's a little bit warm in here. You can hang up your coats and sit down and be comfortable. Ishmael said, no, Gedaliah, we're going to leave on our coats. We feel a little bit cold. We're going to leave on our coats. Well, during the Suda, everybody was making l'chaim, and everybody was singing nigunim and feeling very good. And it was a very nice Suda for Yontif. And all of a sudden, kinalach, a terrible thing. And it's hard to believe that such a thing ever happened, but it did happen. In the middle of the Suda, when everybody was feeling good and everybody was feeling nice, Ishmael and his 10 friends stood up, and out of their coats they pulled big swords. They were hiding swords in their coats. And they started to go around and kill everybody. And the first person they killed was Gedaliah. And they killed his friends. And the soldiers outside heard all of this fighting and screaming. And the soldiers from Babel, Nebuchadnezzar's soldiers, came in to see what was happening. And Ishmael and Ishlech, the friends, started the killing soldiers also. And then they ran away, so they won't get caught. Where are they running away? To the king of Ammon, to his palace. Over there was a secret hiding place. And now they ran away over there to the king of Ammon to hide.